Hey guys, Joan Bruno-Smith here from the High Rollers Club. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm here today with Skip Cohen of Skip Cohen University. So good to see you. How's it going?
Well, it's going great, but I brought in Lucy and Belle as props because I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was to talk a little bit about finding balance.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people think, you know, what could Skip have that didn't provide balance? Well, get two puppies at the same time if you want to totally upset the apple cart and not know where you are or what's up. Or then there are little things like just being excited in the morning when the crate's dry.
No, oh, they're beautiful though.
So the little white one is Belle and Lucy. They're both 6 months old. They were born 4 days apart. And that's it. Are you ready to go now?
They're gorgeous.
All right, that's it. They're no longer on the podcast.
But
it does make a point.
Had their first YouTube and podcast appearance here with the High Rollers Club. I love it.
Okay, hang on 1 second. All right, Lucy, go. Go to mom.
So Skip is giving his dogs,
okay.
Those of us that are listening to the podcast, he was moving his little babies out of the screen there for our listeners. So Skip, tell us about yourself. Where are you located at? You have been in this game for a long time and you're just a wealth of knowledge. So I'm so excited to talk to you about your experiences and about advice, things like that.
Well, the fun about being a, quote, wealth of knowledge, because I'm flattered by that, but I don't know if I'm a wealth of knowledge or I'm just covered with a whole bunch of really good scars. I like sharing this stuff because if you can learn from my mistakes, then you guys can go out and make your own mistakes and make new ones. So hold on 1 second. Can you hear Alexa in the background?
No.
Oh, good. Then we'll let the music play. As everybody can see, these are totally unrehearsed. In any event, I'm based out of Osprey, Florida, which is about 5-10 miles south of Sarasota. It's over on the Gulf Coast. Sheila and I moved down here in 2011 to give my dad a hand. He was dealing with my mom who had Alzheimer's, and mom passed away about 4 years ago, and dad passed away 3 or thereabouts. I'm probably off by a year. In any event, it was a great move to come down here. We were living in Ohio. A lot of people know me from my rangefinder WPPI days when I was living in California. But when I left there, I wanted to start my own business. It was 2009. It was the worst economy that I've seen in my lifetime. We were in a recession. And people thought I was absolutely nuts, including members of my own family, because who leaves a job? I was president of rangefinder WPPI. Everybody knew me. I loved the job, but I didn't agree with some of the things that were going on in the company. And I just decided, you know what? It's finally time to see if I could walk the talk, because I've always worked for other companies.
Yeah.
And had some great jobs. And I love this industry. So I headed out on my own in 2009. And last year, May was 10 years, so it'll be 11 this coming May. And I love it. Skip Cohen University got started in 2013. It's meant to be really an educational resource. There's a lot of different content on there. I have a number of different partners that help with that project. One is Platypod, Panasonic, Tamron, Marathon Press. I'm looking because I hate it when I forget somebody. In fact, there are a number of other companies that do little things, big things. But those are primarily the four companies that help support it and get the word out. And then there are a whole bunch of knucklehead friends I have. And I use the word knucklehead as the highest compliment.
Right.
The people, they're all risk takers. And
right.
And I can throw out almost any name and everybody's going to go, oh, I mean, Tony Corbell is one. Michelle Celentano is another. Roberto Valenzuela. And the list goes on and on. Scott Bourne. Shamira Young came in and started helping me in March of 2017. She and I do 3 different podcasts now, one for Tamron, one for Platypod, and another one for Photo Focus. We do a lot of things together with Photo Focus and other companies. And that's kind of what I do today. Now, the very short version is that a lot of years ago, I started at Polaroid, being thrown out of college. I was every parent's nightmare. And I'm kind of proud of it that I survived. I went to work at Polaroid in Boston at $2.89 an hour, washing bottles in the lab. And I was with Polaroid for 17 and a half years. I loved the company.
Yeah.
I went to school nights and took courses in marketing and business and communications and things that I could do that I knew. My major was essentially marketing according to Polaroid. Even wound up in personnel before it was ever called HR, and actually issued a layoff notice to myself. And in the 70s, Polaroid had to cut back.
Yeah.
And I was going to be out of a job. I was low seniority wise. I was low man on the totem pole, and that's it. I was going out. But because I was within the system, I still had bumping rights back out of a salary job and back into hourly. So I was able to go back into customer service, and that led to a whole new direction for me, including 2.5 years traveling overseas every 3 weeks.
Yeah. So Polaroid, my dad was actually a photographer. So we had a dark room in our basement. So I very distinctly remember going to the camera store and getting Polaroid film so that he could go do weddings with it. And I think that, you know, the growth in our industry from, you know, then until now is so massive. It's really cool that you've had that experience starting from like kind of, you know, where it started in film now into the digital age. What's the number one, like, is there one thing besides the medium that you've really noticed is the big change in the industry from the days of film to the digital age that we're in now?
I think it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of how we share images.
Yeah.
And the other one is consumer reach.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, a customer today has the same reach that a small newspaper had 15 years ago, let's say.
You are right.
Less.
Yeah.
That also means from a customer service standpoint that if you've got one angry customer and you haven't made it a point, now that you can't please everybody, and every now and then somebody's going to get a hockey puck that cannot be saved. But right. If you've ignored them and been afraid to resolve their problem, that also means that they've got the ability now to influence thousands of people. And all it takes is one person, whether it's intentional or accidental, acting like a troll. And suddenly you're seeing everything you've worked hard to build in your reputation start to go up in smoke.
Absolutely.
So it's all, to me, it's all been tied in. It's all digital. The way we capture is unbelievable. I mean, if you think about it, photographers have more tools today to capture an image and post-production. I mean, what was post-production before? You sent it to the lab and you blamed the lab when there was a mistake.
Absolutely. And you know what, when I first got into this industry and I was shooting large groups of people, like large families and stuff, the first one I did, I called my dad and I was like, what did you do? Like when you were shooting weddings and you shot the whole wedding party, like now I can, you know, join pictures together in Photoshop and like, you know, make composites and things like that if someone's eyes are closed or someone's sneezing, right? But I was like, what did you do back then? Like, how did you? He's like, I just delivered images where someone's eyes were closed because what else do you do, you know? But yeah, that's so true.
There wasn't anything else that could be done.
Yeah, right.
And also the way people share images today. I mean, if you follow Michelle Celentano at all, she wrote a thing called I Believe that she's made it available to every photographer that wants it. In fact, on skipconeuniversity.com, if you just type in I Believe in the search box, you'll find it. And essentially, it's a great piece that she wrote on how she believes in prints. And the whole point being, you know, when you take it on a jump drive, you don't know where that image is going to be and how you're going to look at it a year from now.
Right.
Or for that matter, let's go out farther because everybody accuses me of being an alarmist. But I've got 8-track tapes that I can't play on anymore. Yeah. And I've got albums that are up in the attic warped now because I don't have a turntable.
Yeah.
all I listen to is, I mean, Sheila and I have Pandora and Alexa's going in the house all the time.
Yeah.
Everything changes. And she's really worked hard to promote why you want to have a print and why you want to take this work. She'll always give people the file that they can share on Facebook and Instagram, whatever they're going to do. But she also works hard to make sure that that print is going to become a family heirloom.
Yeah, same. I totally agree. You know, we're currently moving my husband's grandmother out of her home and into assisted living. So that's where he is right now, you know, boxing up all of her stuff and things like that. And just last night, he sent me a bunch of pictures, right? Pictures of pictures that would have been lost. All those memories that would have completely been lost because they're right. From 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And yeah, prints are very powerful. And I think that in this digital age that we're in, it's easy to forget that. So yeah, I totally agree. So how do you manage all of this? Because I know like you're still really busy. You've had a really busy career. How do you balance everything?
Well, that's why I wanted the puppies on in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because puppies, I mean, a lot of people will sit there and go, hey, come on. You're an old fart. You're an empty nester. You've got control of your life. And to a point that was true. And I want to give people some ideas on how to get that control. But then bringing two puppies in 3 months ago absolutely changed everything. In fact, if you had asked me to be on this podcast a month ago, I would have said, you know, come back in the spring. You're not getting sleep. You're watching the puppies constantly. Yeah. They're not housebroken. And we decided we wanted two of them. Sheila wanted a small dog. I wanted something a little bigger. I had lost Molly, the wonder dog, who was 62 pounds of energy after 13 and a half years. And anybody that's ever lost a dog understands that hole in your heart.
Right. And
it was finally, after 6 months, it was finally time to say, no, actually it was almost 8 months. It was time to say, come on, let's start to fill the hole again. And that's where the two puppies come in. Now, when it comes to finding balance, because I know it sounds like I'm way off track, the first thing that I think everybody misses today, you've got to define why you want the balance. And that's to define success. And somebody asked me that question on a podcast a few months back and said, how do you define success? Well, for me at this point in my life, and I wish I had realized this when I was younger, the bottom line revenue is a big measurement. We all want to make money. We all want to live a certain lifestyle. We all have dreams. And some people believe in, they say you should always have a picture of something that your goals. And I've been in studios where you see somebody that's got a picture of a car or a Harley, or it's their boat, or something that they want. And men or women, there's no discrimination between the two. It's what is that thing that you want that defines success? Well, for me, is that when I was asked, success for me today is waking up every morning smiling. It's being excited to get out of bed as opposed to getting out of bed and go, oh shit, I don't know what I got to do today.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that you have to define is what is success to you? And I've met so many photographers, and usually they're either younger or they're making some kind of a midlife change in their career, or maybe one half a couple has been downsized in their place of work and they're trying to figure out what they want to do next. And they've always loved photography and off they go to become a photographer. And then they start defining that by, wow, I'm not making money at this. Now, photography is not a philanthropy. You're meant to make money. But if you can define success first, and there's that old line, Steve Jobs gets credit for it, so does Confucius. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Right. So it's a big range of 1,000 years or more between, you know, Confucius, and maybe it's not 1,000, between Confucius and Steve Jobs both getting credit for the same quote. But the truth is, you have to love what you do. Mm-hmm. Now, the second part of that in finding balance is you, as a photographer, you cannot create images that tug at people's heartstrings if your own heart isn't in it.
Right.
And a lot of times your heart isn't in it because you haven't found that balance. So am I going too far off track with you?
No, not at all. Do you feel like, sometimes I feel like that's like an evolution that most photographers go through, where they really like, they start out maybe with the passion for the craft, and then they're like, wait, I'm not making any money. And so then they start to figure out how they can make money, or they just burn out and they stop. And then after you're making money and you're comfortable, then you get back to the passion. You know what I mean? I almost feel like it's like a life cycle of the photographer. I feel like that's kind of how my photography journey has been, because now like I'm comfortable, my studio is successful. So now I can get back to that passion part, the part where, you know, I'm doing things for me, you know?
Well, you did that. You did a guest post for me a few years back.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I loved was, in your case, you're going after two different target audiences, because one side was family photography, and then there's making the transition over to boudoir, or you could be boudoir making the transition going the other way. But right. The point is, the client is the base, is the same. Base for both. It's mom, it's women.
Yeah.
Women make 98% of the purchase decisions to hire a professional photographer. And if that sounds like a quote, it's because it is. It's out of an old Kodak study done, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. Yeah. I don't believe it has changed one bit.
I think it's still applicable very much.
Yeah. And maybe instead of 90%, 98% today, it's 92%. Who cares? Yeah. The point is that mom is your target most of the time. And or soon to be mom, or recently mom, whatever, that's your target audience. So when it comes to defining what you're doing and just defining your business, you start out, typically, you have to start out with what's going to pay the bills. I know all kinds of, and I'll give you a good example. Underclass school photography would kill me if I had to shoot it. Now, the reality is you've got a lot of great underclass school photographers, and it's literally one kid after another, sit on the stool, hit the button, sit on the stool, hit the button, get the shot, but it pays the bills.
Yeah.
And what you usually find with those photographers is that the other side of their imaging life might be landscapes, could be critters, could be macro, some of them weddings. You'll find a very broad mix of other things that they do, even though they're making great money on their skill set as an underclass photographer. And that's another piece of finding balance, is that you've got to have some special projects. So if, for example, when you're just starting out and you've decided, all right, let's use weddings as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Gionis years ago, taught a class on a program that I was doing in Ohio. He made a comment to everybody in the class. He said, the way we start out is wrong. He said, the way we start out, we get our camera and suddenly we're out there shooting, and we've got to understand business, and we've also got to understand technique, and we've got to develop our skill set. He said, the way it should be, everybody should go out and be a second shooter for a couple of years so that they get the skill set down and they know every button and they understand focal lengths and they know exactly which lens to pull, whether it's a small church or a big church, they know which lens to pull out of their bag.
Yeah.
And then once you had your skill set down, then you could go ahead and address the business. And to me, that's another important part of balance. You've got to understand why you're doing what you're doing. You've got to understand a little bit of the business side, actually a lot of the business side. If, I mean, look at where you are now and go back to when you started.
Yeah.
How afraid were you of that first client you charged?
Yeah. I mean, very. I started with IPS like from day one, because I'm like a big believer in like preparing. And so I was kind of an outlier because I never went through the whole like shoot and burn stage that most photographers do. I started like watching Sal Sincotta on Creative Live, and I watched a course he did that had IPS, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to do that. But the first time I did it, my work didn't nearly, I mean, I wasn't good at all, right? Who is whenever you start, but the people bought it. And so I was able to kind of figure it out. But yeah, it's scary. Like when you first start charging, everyone suffers from the imposter syndrome, especially when you first start, I think.
Well, and that's all part of it. And when you look at, you're starting your business, first of all, let's go into other components of finding balance. You actually absolutely need to have a routine. You've got to be able to sit there and say, all right, here's what I'm going to do every morning. And now my routine, and again, people will say, how in the world do you balance your blog? Well, remember, I am a blogger. This is what I do. I'm not a professional photographer. I know a lot more than I let on from hanging out with all you guys for so many years.
Yeah.
But the difference would be that I could shoot a portrait and it would take me 8 hours and Jen, it would take you 11 minutes. Yeah. And you'd have your lights right. You'd know exactly what you wanted. And forget if I was trying to do an attractive boudoir shot. The light would be too harsh. I'd be too embarrassed. I'd be totally uncomfortable and I wouldn't understand some of the great benefits of working with a really good boudoir photographer, because it is about self-esteem, it is about beauty, and it is about capturing the personality of the subject. So I don't make a living as a photographer, and people say, well, how do you keep up with your blog? Well, because that's what I do. So for me, every morning, first thing I hit is my email. Second thing I hit is to check my website to make sure that everything is loading the way it should, which I've seen so many photographers forget about that, and they don't understand why they're getting no calls, and it's because something happened in the middle of the night with GoDaddy or something out there.
Right.
Platform isn't working. You should also check it on Chrome as well as Safari.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice.
Well, I actually spoke at a conference years ago, and one of the people in the audience was part of a big studio, and they actually had multiple people in their studio that were assigned to check a different page each day. So every morning between, let's say, 9 and 9:15, there might be 20 different pages on the website that would be checked to make sure it was working.
Right.
And be checking them in 3 or 4 different platforms to make sure that everything was doing what it was supposed to do.
That's
and the
smart.
Search engines were coming up right, so that helped. So that routine becomes incredibly important. Another piece to finding balance, and this is going to sound really sappy and hokey, but you got to get enough sleep.
Yeah.
And when you're tired, I don't care who you are. Now, my wife and I are different. Sheila needs 8 hours. I'm good on 6, but by the end of the week, I'm going to be taking a nap sometime during the day, or on the weekend, I'm going to be a complete blob.
Right.
So I'm a 6 to 8 guy. She has got to have 8. And if you're not, boy, if you're not feeling good, because along with sleep also comes a little exercise, of which the puppies are giving us plenty of that right now, chasing them around the backyard. Also getting out for a walk. All of these are, they seem so basic. It's so stupid to say to somebody, well, if you want to find balance in your life, start by making sure you're getting enough sleep. And everybody is different. Everybody's body is like a bank account. And when you come up short and you don't get enough sleep, you overdraw the account.
Right.
And we've all done that one, and you all know the pain of calling somebody or dealing with some company because you bounced a check because you didn't move enough money over into the right bucket. Yeah. Next on the list goes back to understanding your business. You can't find balance if you're not charging enough for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a great, you mentioned Sal before. There's actually, if you go to YouTube and put in, try putting in Sal Cincotta pricing.
Yeah.
There's a great 1 or 2 videos, there might even be 3 now, where Sal talks about pricing and how do you price your work. And he basically says that the greatest way to screw up a business is to not be charging enough. And he also talks about penalizing clients for buying a la carte.
Right.
So you want your a la carte pricing should be high. We're all used to dealing in packages. We buy a car, we do it in a package.
Absolutely.
Dinner, odds are you might be in a package where you're anticipating that you're
we're comfortable.
You're going to get a couple of side orders with your burger. I mean, it's basics. And yet photographers tend to forget about that. And they get so excited because, wow, it only cost me $2.50 for an 8x10 out of the lab. I'm going to charge 20 and make a killing. But they forget everything else in the pricing.
all the other time and
their insurance, their time.
Yeah.
I mean, how many hours would you guess that you spent in your career? How long have you been shooting?
Well, since 2009.
Okay. So we've got 11 years in there. How much time would you say you've spent attending classes or watching something online or listening? You mentioned listening to Sal on Creative, watching Sal on Creative Live.
A lot. I mean, I'm a learner though. So now not so much anymore because I'm like really like the studio is just going, but I would say up until about 5 years ago, I was doing courses all the time. I have pictures with my babies on my lap, like watching, I watched Kelly Brown on Creative Live, right? Like with her newborn class. And I had my newborn Jackson, my 7-year-old now on my lap watching the newborn class. I was always watching new things and trying to learn and absorb information. I remember seeing Sal on YouTube talking about Louis Vuitton and like modeling your brand after him. Like he was sitting in a field somewhere in a chair. And I'm like, this Sal guy, he really knows what he's talking about. And so I really consider him one of my very first mentors because whether he knows it or not, but you know, he has such a good business mind. And, after the work is solid, like you said, the next thing that you really have to do is figure out the business, how to run a business. And so that was key for me, like watching his business mentoring.
Well, he's done a really great job with a lot of different programs and videos. In fact, when you said the chair, I have to laugh because
you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. Know it completely.
Yeah.
That was where all those things initially started, where he'd be moving his chair out into the middle of the highway in a golf cart.
It was literally one of my very first exposures to the industry was Sal. And I'm so grateful for that because it's really shaped my business and helped me understand the bigger picture of how I need my business to be successful.
Well, here's another piece of balance because what you mentioned Kelly Brown a minute ago.
Yeah.
I met Kelly for the first time and got to spend time with her like a whole weekend with her husband, Rob.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of us rented a house together. It was Sue Bryce's wedding. Sue was getting married to George Varanakis, who is one of my best friends. And he and I go back to early my WPPI days and Rangefinder magazine.
Yeah.
Kelly and her husband, Rob, were in one room. Michelle Celentano and her husband, Paul, were in another room and Susan Stripling was in another room. Now I'm throwing that in there. Not to brag about who I got to hang out with, although I got to admit, it's a pretty impressive list of name dropping.
That is a very impressive list.
Well, but surround yourself. That's another part of finding balance.
So that's awesome.
Is build your network.
Yeah.
And when we weren't at the wedding, we were sitting in the hot tub. The wedding was in Palm Springs. We all got to hang out with each other and we all got to know each other just a little bit better. Well, finding balance is also about people that watch your backs. It's also about people whose backs you watch. This is a very small industry and new photographers coming in don't always realize how close we all are. I mean, I've seen photographers totally destroy their career because they shredded somebody, talking to somebody else and didn't realize that that person they shredded could be related to the person they were shredding. It could be with
a world.
Yeah, it could be somebody. I mean, for example, I mean, I started out at Polaroid. I was at Hasselblad for 12 years. So I got Polaroid, Hasselblad. I was off on my own on the internet. I did some consulting work for Photo District News, which sadly is a magazine that they just buried last week, announced it was going to disappear. Then you've got Rangefinder magazine. Then you've got everybody that I've worked with over the years at different conventions. It's a very small industry. Yeah. And part of finding that balance is also having a really good network that you can draw from. Now, having a network just in itself isn't enough. You have to be comfortable and recognize when you need help and ask for it.
Absolutely.
Stubborn and stupid. And
not open to constructive criticism.
Yeah. You've got to open it up. That's also why I love you're part of the AIB peep group. And that just makes the letters up. No, I got it right.
Nope, you got it.
I got it.
Yeah.
What I love about that group.
For our listeners who may not know what that is, it's Association of International Boudoir Photographers, which is how we actually first met because, through AIBP, it's this great small community of boudoir photographers. It's very close-knit. It's a very positive and uplifting community. So,
And the reason I brought that up is because being a part of a group like that, you don't have to be active on Facebook all the time, but you want to have a group of people you can draw from. Even if you haven't been to one of the AIBP retreats, you want to at least know, oh, that's Jen. I've seen her work. I've talked to her. I hate people that do that, and I'm doing it here. I've talked to her in cyberspace, and I've been part of a conversation. But you want to have that network of people that are close-knit, that you can ask a stupid question and not be embarrassed. What light did you use? How many lights did you use? Yeah. Can I ask what brand? I mean, it's all those questions that come up, some of them very detailed, some of them just dumb, but you want advice. It's kind of like, I mean, we have a couple that we go out to dinner with on a regular basis down here, and we take turns picking the restaurant because we don't know all the restaurants in Sarasota. We're getting close though, because it's not that community. But you'll ask, you say, well, I don't know, what are you up for? Where do you want to go? Well, I want to go here. No, we were just there and it was really horrible. Well, you've got the same ability when it comes to equipment. Depending on what everybody likes, everybody's got a different favorite. There's no loyalty in this industry when it comes to hardware.
Right.
It's kind of like, all right, I mean, we've seen the battle over the years. The Canon came along and suddenly Nikon was losing people. Then Canon changed something and now Nikon games, and we went back and forth. Well, today, as photographers, you guys have more choices than at any time in the history of photography.
Yeah.
Canon and Nikon, but you've also got Sony. Panasonic. I shoot Lumix. You've got Sony. Yeah. You've got Fuji out there. You've got Olympus, and you've got
so many choices.
Who knows? Yeah, plenty of other choices. And then you've also got a whole bunch of photographers that are playing the, let's go back to when it was a craft card, and shooting film again.
Right.
So there's an unlimited collection of choices out there, and you need that network to help you find the balance, because odds are, and this is one of the things I remind everybody, and I apologize, I'll let you get a word in any second now.
That's great. Listening to your perspective. Well, I'm enjoying this.
All right. When you go to a convention, I always tell everybody, one, never eat a meal alone. And two, when you sit down at anybody's program, talk to the person on your left, introduce yourself to the person on the right as well, and just say why you're here. Because as you build that network, everybody is dealing with the same problems. Sooner or later, you know, you may not find anybody in your area. Let's stick somebody in Cleveland, because I grew up there. So, and I'm not there anymore. And and with the weather up there now, I'm glad I'm not.
Absolutely.
But you're in Cleveland and you're having a problem with a particular client who thinks that something should be free. And you happen to go to a conference and you're sitting next to a photographer from Phoenix, let's say, who just had the same problem 6 months ago. And that's where getting to know more people in the industry and building a network can really help. Also, drawing off the experience of your vendors. If you're looking for something new to sell and a way to make money, just call your lab and ask what's new. And then just shut up and listen. Walk into, like, example, I do a lot of work with Bay Photo and I love their product, but I have a roughly 30 by 50 performance EXT metal print outside. Now, remember, I live in Florida, so everybody's got a pool.
Right.
Outside by the pool, and it's been in the sun and the rain. It's been out there for a year and a half, and there is no degradation whatsoever.
Wow.
It hasn't faded. It's not scratched. I can't figure out why. It'll rain, and the rain dries, or I'll hose it down when I'm cleaning the back deck. And there are no water drops on it. I can't figure out how the thing just automatically seems to stay clean and vibrant. But if you're looking for new products, and this is one that I love talking about, because every client you have has a back porch. They've got something outside. Even if you're in a small apartment, if you're lucky enough, you've got a little balcony.
Right.
Being able to take a special print, something that means a lot to you, and have it out there, what a cool thing.
Absolutely.
outside your home. And it's one of those things here when people come over, they're looking at this print and it's one I'm proud of. I look at it now and see all the things I could have done better, but it's a sunset at Nokomis Beach that's 10 minutes from here. And here's this big print hanging outside in the elements. Well, that comes back to balance again. It's being able to ask for advice and look for new things when you're trying to build your business.
Now I really want to see that print. You're going to have to take a picture and send it to me. I'd love to see it. It sounds gorgeous.
Actually, if you go to Skip Cohen University, go to the search box again and just put in performance EXT. It'll come up in the search engine. And like I said, it's been out there. It'll be 2 years in August. Now, odds are it probably has faded.
Yeah.
But to the human eye, it has not. And they don't put a guarantee on it, but I've heard people talk about these things being outside anywhere 3 to 5 years or more.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to go look that up. That sounds like a great product.
Well, it's one more thing to do and offer your clients.
Absolutely. You know, going back to what you said about surrounding yourself with a network, one of my students in our mastermind class, her dad used to raise horses. They were equestrians. And she was talking about our exclusive mastermind group where all of like the students are. There's like 390 people in it right now, all just killing it. And she was like, my dad used to always say, you need to surround yourself with thoroughbreds. And I was like, yes, that's so true. And that's what it is. It's so important. Because I think when you're surrounding yourself with other people that are successful and have a positive mindset, it just lifts you up. And then on the other hand, whenever you go into these massive Facebook groups and everyone's complaining and no one really knows what's going on, but they all have advice, it just pulls you down. So I think that it's really important that you know that you're cautious and that you know who you are surrounding yourself with. So it lifts you up instead of pulling you down, right?
Absolutely. In fact, that's another piece. You keep hitting on things that, I mean, obviously I'm not working off a list here. The list is all in my head about how I have found balance and mistakes I've made when I had no balance. The other piece is stepping outside your comfort zone.
Right.
And that's another part. In fact, I did a blog post just this past Sunday that ran, and it was all about stepping outside your comfort zone, because the comfort zone is great, but nothing grows there.
Right.
And when you go to a conference, for example, WPPI is coming up later on in February. And I always recommend whatever classes you're going to take one every day that's outside your comfort zone.
That's great advice.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is suggesting that everybody in the world take a macro class.
Yeah.
What you photograph, at some point, a wedding photographer is going to be in the details. Landscape photographers may be a macro of a critter or some beautiful, I don't know, you're talking flower. About foliage. Yeah. It's all kinds of different things that are out there, but macro is another discipline. Another one is whether you like to shoot newborns or not. If you're a wedding photographer, you've got to at least respect the process, because within a certain amount of time, most brides are going to have a baby.
Right.
And start a family. So why not be there to be able to offer the service? Yeah. Or if not, you at least respect it enough because you can make a referral, because you never want to say no to a client and say, no, I'm sorry, I hate babies. I don't photograph babies.
Right.
The better answer is, hey, I don't photograph babies, but I've got a great friend that does. Let me contact them, and somebody's going to call you in the next day or so, and be able to give them an answer. So being able to step outside your comfort zone helps round you as a photographer. It helps expand your expertise.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter what it is. If you're boudoir, then stepping outside and doing something in family portraiture or babies, or again, macro or tabletop. I love it when I get a bunch of wedding photographers in the room and I'll say, how many of you do tabletop? And no hands go up. And then I'll look and I go, really? The toughest shot in the world to get is that cake shot.
Right.
You don't have the advantage of tabletop in a studio where you can control the lights and you've got a backdrop and you've got time to get the shot. You've got to get it on the fly. And if you're really unlucky, the bride is cutting the cake with her grandmother's cake knife, and she wants to see the the silver on silver engraving
right
in the shot along right. with the cake itself. So yeah. step outside your comfort zone. And then I got one more. I don't know. Are we out of time?
You know what? This is great. I'm good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm watching. You haven't yawned yet. So that's
no, no. Which is surprising because you know I have three young kids, right? I'm always right. yawning. So if I do, that's it's right. not you.
Because, well, you've got one more than I have two puppies. So three kids. That does it. That changes your life. The other one is having a good partner.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough about the relationship I have with Sheila. Do we have days that are rocky? Hell yes. So does every couple. But when it comes to her understanding my business, when it comes to sharing my frustrations, you've got to have a sounding board.
Right.
And when you're looking for balance in your life, now obviously it goes both ways, but I'm talking about this as I'm the one talking about how I've gotten balance. Sheila has her own things that have helped bring balance into her life, but you've got to complement each other. You've got to know when to back off. You've got to know when to push. You've got to make time for yourselves. You've got to have time for date night. You've got to get out of the house now and then. You've got to get out with friends. My life, Dane Sanders talked about years ago in his first book that he did about you are not your photography. You know, there's a point where your business, you can't separate it. There's a point where too many of us become where...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're obsessed. It's not, I mean, I got into scuba diving years ago and somebody said, it's not a hobby, it's a sickness. Mm-hmm. And I really hit that sickness mark because I can't tell you how many trips I did diving in those yeah. first couple of years. But it's the same with your business. I've finally gotten disciplined enough that by 5 o'clock, sometimes earlier, I've shut everything down. Now I start usually around 6:30, 7 in the morning, and I typically go nonstop. We take time to take turns and getting the puppies out, although Sheila's been taking the burden of that lately. Mm-hmm. But you've got to find that balance. You've got to find that time where you're putting in time together as well as finding the balance. And you get to this point where I used to, all right, 5 o'clock, she'd say, come on, what do you want to do for dinner? Just give me 5 minutes. Well, there's no such thing as 5 minutes when you're coming to, when you're looking at your email.
Right.
No such thing as 5 minutes when you just want to tweak the saturation on a print because it's what you were working on and you were in the zone.
And you want to finish.
Right.
Yeah.
The same thing going back in later at night. I used to, excuse me, I need a drink here.
We've been going for a while. You've had so many nuggets of information.
Well, it's just good stuff. This is also a sign of somebody that works in a home office and there's nobody to talk to. So,
well, I'm at home all the time too. So it is nice to have somebody to talk to. I totally understand that.
Well, that's it. The point is that I forgot where I was. This goes with being an old fart.
No.
Or I used to say it's brain cells I lost at too many concerts in my younger days. I wish brain cells back.
I wish I could remind you, but my brain cells are because
see
of
that?
Children.
See that?
So I'm not totally sure. I remember that I was thinking that you've hit on so many important things and things that whenever I'm talking to prospective students that might want to join our course, the three best predictors of success I found are one, having solid work, which we've talked about, two, being open to the change, which we've talked about, and then the third is just being hungry for it. And it's so funny that I found as I've talked to so many people in the industry that we all kind of come to the same conclusions, whether like we didn't have this conversation before. We've obviously talked before, but not specifically about this. But I think that we all eventually come to the same conclusions, the ones of us that are successful. And we may get to those places in different ways and take different paths, but eventually we come to similar answers about things. So I think it's so interesting hearing you speak because it's, you know, things that I've thought about, conclusions I've come to too. It's great to listen to a different perspective. So,
well, you know, finding balance. I had a conversation with Tamara Lackey years ago and she hated the expression finding balance because it's become so abused and she's right. But it really is about your priorities. And that goes back to how you define success. I couldn't dive out of bed with a smile on my face every morning. And it is obnoxious. I mean, Sheila is one of those people you don't talk to until she's had a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
She's great. I'm one of those knuckleheads that's in your face right out of the blocks.
Me too. And
it's finding, it's all part of finding that balance. It's about a partnership, and it's also about, you've got to share what's going on in your life. You can't expect your family to understand why you want to kick the dog if they don't know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I've met so many photographers over the years, and I have to admit, a lot of times it seems to be more of a guy thing, where we've been taught that it goes back to the old days of real men don't eat quiche. Well, not only do I eat it, but I know how to make one.
Yeah.
It's holding all of that stuff in. It's the importance and pride of being a DIY guy, which is such bullshit, because you really, there's so many resources out there.
Yeah, you have to take advantage.
Yeah. Every now and then I would try and clean up something on my website. This is going back about 7 years ago. And I figured, well, I don't know HTML, but if I copy the code and all I'm trying to do is change the date on something, I can get away with it and I can make the change. Well, then I would hit something wrong and totally screw up the website, and I'd wind up calling my buddy Scott Bourne to say help. And then he would come back to me and say, why didn't you just call me in the first place? Well, right. Because I didn't want to bother him, because I wanted to be proud of the fact that I could do it all by myself. And the reality is that if you're in a group, and let's use AIBP again, if you've got a group like that to draw from, who supports you, then that ability to find balance in your life, to establish your priorities, to not take too long on working on something that just gets you so frustrated, you've got somebody there to draw from. So it does go back to priorities. I don't think there's any one clean answer. It's about sleep. It's about being happy. It's about defining success. It's about, obviously, when you do have the money and you're making some good money, and this is an incredible industry if you do it right.
Yeah.
Every photographer I talk to today, if I say, how's the year going? If they say it's been an unbelievable year and a good one, and this would have been at the close of 2019, they'll also add, but I never worked so hard in my life. So business is out there, but you've got to be diverse. You got to have a website. I absolutely believe you have to have a blog. A website is about what you sell. A blog is about what's in your heart. The two of them work together. Yeah. And then finding that balance, and I keep using the word balance after I just told you how Tamara Lackey hates it. You've got to have those. You've got to have those priorities
right.
In line. And let's hit on one more, and then I'm shutting up and letting you get back to work. And we're going to end this podcast. This is the Never Ending Podcast.
This has been so valuable, though. You've had such great advice. This has been really great.
Well, you've got to, on the list of priorities, making money changes everything, so that when you start to make money, you've got to pay attention to that understanding of business, so that you know you've priced things fairly, so that you're not feeling like you've become a philanthropy. And everybody always has that problem, because you start photographing, a lot of people start photographing friends and their families, and then somebody's getting married and say, hey, is there any way you'll shoot Mary's wedding for me? And
you're
a really good friend and you want to do it. You've got to be able to learn to say no sometimes. And I'm not saying that means that you go ahead and you make your best friend feel like garbage, because you're not going to support them. But it's finding that it's recognizing that you need to take care of yourself. And I guess that's where I was going, and I got off track a little bit. You've got to take care of yourself the same way. I don't know if you've read, if you read Melody Beattie or anybody else out there, but every now and then I do a blog post quoting something from Melody Beattie. Sheila got me into Melody Beattie years ago. I read a different page every morning. She's really about codependency and recovery. Mm-hmm. But the stuff she writes about is relevant to all of us. And it's that moment when you're depressed because, I don't know, you're sad about something and it's owning you. It's about guilt that somebody's dumped on you that really isn't justified, but it hits you home.
Right.
You have to look for motivational things. Even if you're just going into Google every morning, go into Google, everybody that's watching this, and just go into the Google box and type in quotes about life. you will be blown away by some of the things you find.
Yeah. And
that's where you also have to, that's the last piece of this, is just remembering that you've got to take care of yourself. You eat three meals a day, or some of us only make it to two and do a lot of snacking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but the point is you feed your body. Well, you've also got to feed your soul. And as sappy as that sounds, and I'm not trying to sound like an evangelist here, but you've got to have, well, you've got to pay attention to a little spirituality, including your own spirit.
Yeah, I love that. This has been so great. Thank you so much for your time today. You know, talking about work-life balance, we've covered so many topics in this very short period. So it's been so good seeing you. Tell us again where our listeners can find you.
Yeah, everything I write is at skipcohenuniversity.com. I'm also Skip Cohen on Facebook. I'm Skip Cohen on Twitter. Nothing particularly fancy to remember or hard to remember there. And if anybody's got any questions, or if anybody thinks I went way off track here, feel free to criticize me. My email is skip@mei500.com. And I answer email. I'm on it all day long. I'm going to throw a quick infomercial in here.
Yeah,
I'm having a blast. And this is also about finding balance and stepping outside your comfort zone. I'm doing a lot of interesting stuff with Platypod. Go take a look at platypod.com. I'm having fun with them. I'm actually in the role of CMO for them, which stands for Chief Marketing Officer, which is a very fancy word for it. Yeah. It's a big word that just says, yeah, I don't know, go ask Skip.
Yeah.
And one of the new things that I just learned recently was going into, go to platyball.com, platyball.com, because it's the first Kickstarter campaign I've ever been involved in. And it's a really interesting process. It's also a product, but.
And what types of products do they have?
Platypod essentially is a sidekick to your tripod.
Okay.
There are a lot of places you can't go with a tripod.
Yeah.
Museum, for example, most churches and houses of worship will not let you set up a tripod.
Right.
Platypod gives your camera a big footprint. It goes directly from the footprint to a ball head to your camera.
Wow.
And then in addition to that, you've got, I'm sorry. Oh.
I'm sorry, are you done?
No, we're on. This is live, everybody.
Oh. Hi, Sheila.
She couldn't hear you because
we've been talking about her for this.
Jen said hi. We've been talking about you. Sheila needed the checkbook, which happens to be sitting right here.
Wow.
And Platyball is a revolutionary ball head where the founder and inventor has taken the ball head and turned it upside down. So you're balancing at the top. You're finding your level at the top of the tripod. You don't need to level your tripod.
Wow.
It's all in. The control is all in the ball head.
That's so cool.
I didn't mean to turn that into an infomercial, but.
That's awesome.
To me, it's part of balance. It's finding that balance and finding that happiness, because with happiness comes balance
discovery.
And priority.
Yes, you're like discovering new things. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. I'm sure our listeners will too. So thank you again for your time.
Okay.
It's been so good seeing you. And you can find Skip at skipcohenuniversity.com. You can find me at thehighrollersclub.io. Definitely join our Facebook group, The High Rollers Club, Business and Marketing for Photographers. And I'll see you guys around.
Okay. I just want you to know that while we've been doing this, your house has been bugged. I've had somebody in there so that if I hear after you hang up, oh my God, I thought he wouldn't shut up. I know where you live.
You know, that's not going to happen. And if you know where I live, then that also means that you're going to have to watch some children and give us that night out that you were talking about.
Yeah, I bet I also have to deal with cold weather and snow, and I don't do that.
Very true. But you know, we haven't had snow at all here yet.
Really?
Not one.
You're around Indianapolis somewhere, right?
No, I'm actually in Delaware.
Okay, I don't know why. Why did I think Indy?
Yeah.
Did you used to be in Indy?
No, so
Never mind.
Yeah, we were in Pennsylvania, but that's okay.
You do have Rehoboth Beach, which I used to hang out at years ago. So
we do. Okay, right. We'll wrap this up for our listeners. Thank you so much, Skip.
Right.
Thanks everyone for tuning in.